You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
You know, I always had this wild passion towards animals. Maybe it was because I grew up in a broken home and animals were a source of unconditional love. You know, their energies are so pure. It's like animals don't have ego. Animals don't see color. Animals are just purely non-judgmental. They just see love. They just see energy. And that's why I was so attracted to them, probably, growing up as a child who was uber sensitive and had all these clairvoyant gifts. Of course I would gravitate to animals because they were the one thing that was stable, that I felt was stable in my life. You know, as I went on to study astrology, which you've seen me talk about a lot on Instagram lately, Applied Astrology School with Deborah Silverman is now open. So if you guys are interested in enrolling and learning all you can about astrology, do check out our show notes or email me. I'll put all my contact info in the show notes for you guys. But I learned that I have a sixth house stellium. The sixth house rules, yes, health, daily routine, but it also rules small pets. Boom, huge light bulb went off when I saw that because I'm not a crier. We joke that my eyes are constipated. I really wish I could cry more. Perhaps there's more blocks I need to remove to get to that point of crying, or perhaps it's simply just I've had to be so tough all my life that it's hard to sit down and tap into those emotions. But the one thing that can get me to cry and release water from my eyes is, yes, that thing you hear snoring in the background. My pug, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, Jeffrey, Jeffrey. You know, I wanted a pug my entire life. And if you're new here, this will be a new story for you. And if you're not, sorry for the repeat. But I wanted a pug since I was a little girl. And in college and school and whatnot, I used to always put pictures of a girl riding a beach bike somewhere in the tropics with a pug and her basket on the bike. And I was like, that is going to be my life. That is going to be my life. Lo and behold, it was. As you see all over my personal Instagram, Jeffrey and I, when we lived in the Keys, would always go on bike rides with him in the basket. Even in Charleston, South Carolina, where I'm at right now, we would ride around with him in the basket. Ugh. It's so cool to put, like, to create a vision board and then to see it come to life. It's absolutely fascinating and works wonders. Jeffrey, I literally wished for him upon a shooting star. And little did I know that that very night that I did that and saw one of the wildest green shooting stars, he was born. That was his birthday, December 8th, 2016. He was born, and then I got him in 2017, and we've been known as the Steph and Jeff Show ever since then. Pretty much living, this pug has swam in the Atlantic Ocean and hiked the Rocky Mountains before his first birthday, and I'm talking like a 13,000 footer. He is something else. Whenever you meet him, you know, people don't recognize me. They recognize Jeff on the streets. And then they're like, oh, wait a second, you're the girl from Lightworkers Lounge. But it's always Jeffrey first because he's got such a commanding personality. He's a Sagittarius with an Aries moon. You're damn right. I pulled my dog's birth chart. And it shows. Oh, it shows. He's just, you know, the other day we were at the dog park, and this has been Jeff since he was a puppy. I've had him very well socialized at parks and around other people. But whenever we go to dog parks, he always finds the dog who is most timid, most shy, very standoffish, even just walking down the road. You know, if you have a dog, you know what I mean. Like, you're walking your dog, and then if they want to sniff each other, you'll say, hey, are they friendly? Can they say hi? And to the dogs, to the people who say, no, he's not that friendly, sorry, I'm like, okay, no drama. But Jeff will be so gravitated and pull. And then they'll be like, okay, well, he usually isn't nice with dogs, but you can go ahead and say hello. And then I'll let Jeffrey off leash to just do the sniff. And all of a sudden, their dog, who they haven't seen play with another dog ever, will start wagging its tail and playing with Jeffrey. It has happened since I got him. And it just happened yesterday when we were at the dog park. This cute family was there. And they had their dog who they rescued named Luna. And she was just so afraid of men and other dogs. And Jeff comes in and just introduces himself, walks right up, Aries Moon style, And all of a sudden she's playing and they have the zoomies and they're running around together and the family is just so happy. Like, wow, I guess she's not afraid of dogs. Okay. I don't know what it is about Jeffrey, but he has a big personality and boy, did his soul come here to fuck shit up in a good way, to bring fireworks to my life and to bring support, undying loyalty, leadership, love. He truly is. Oh, so many times. And I know you listening, if you have pets, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So many times I think, what would I do without him? What would I do without him? I've lived in my car with him. I live in a motorhome with him now. I've lived in beautiful homes in the Florida Keys with him. We've done it all. And he's only 4 years old. And yes, we almost have the same birthday. I'm December 6th. He's the 8th. So we celebrate on the 7th, the Stephen Jeff Show. He is my earth angel. He came to me a month before I lost my two cats in a tragic day. And he held me through all of that as a little puppy. And he saw me through my divorce. And he saw me through my first Saturn return when my life was completely turned upside down. He has seen me through dating someone with children, which I always said I would never do. But here I am, rocking it and loving it, I will say. And Jeffrey's been with me through that, as you'll hear in this episode. He had something to say about that. So Rose is a dear friend of mine. I met her years ago and she's just phenomenal. She is an animal communicator and we pulled up her birth chart during this reading as well, and she was made to do what she is doing. And as you'll hear, she loves it. She's so good at it. It comes so natural to her. Jeffrey and I actually stayed with her. She has an Airbnb in her home and Jeffrey and I stayed with her for a few days, and she read him, and we talked about him, and it was just so enlightening. And animal communicators are so good for us empathic people who have such strong bonds to our pets, to our fur babies, when they tragically pass, or when we lose them, or when they have behavioral disorders that pop up, or health disorders that are unexplained and we don't understand, like unexplained anxiety. You'll hear me talk about that in the show, and ask Jeffrey, what's going on, dude? And she helps, and she's done so much for people, and it's really an honor to be able to share her with you guys, because I know so many of you have the same bond with your babies that Jeff and I have. So if you guys want to work with Rose, you can find her on Instagram at Animal Communicator Rose. Her name is Rose Proud. You can find her website by just Googling her, and she'll leave all of her info in the show notes as well as in the show. So with that said, here is Rose and I's conversation, as well as her demonstrating how she channels animals on my pug, Jeffrey. Okay, Rose, the first thing I do now is I ask my guests a question from the card game, We're Not Really Strangers. Have you ever heard of them?
No, I haven't.
They're on Instagram at We're Not Really Strangers, and it's just a game where you get to know people and realize that we're all humans. We all have heartbreak over the same thing. We all cry. We all experience joy and love. So the card I pulled for us today is,
okay,
what do you think is the hardest part of what I do for a living?
Of what you do?
Yeah. Being a podcast host. What do you think is the hardest part for what I do?
Well, considering what we just went through, probably dealing with technology.
Yes, it is. It is really difficult. Now, what is the hardest part of what you do for a living?
Well, don't you have to guess that?
Yeah, I guess I do. If I were to guess, the hardest part is the energetic drain, because you have to channel such different energies, and especially working with clients who lost their pets, whether it was death or the pet went missing. To channel those really heavy emotions has got to be hard. I can't imagine how you walk away from a session like that and feel upbeat knowing someone's just distraught over their lost pet.
The hardest part is specifically lost animals. And I don't mean ones who have made their transition, but lost. Because it's emotionally draining on me, on them, and on their people. You know, and it's heart-wrenching, especially when they don't find them. When someone loses an animal, it's, you know, when they pass, it's still emotional, but usually the information they share helps their person feel better.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's a whole different, and the way they feel, like when an animal comes in, from spirit, they feel so amazing. I always wish I could like put it in a little bottle and send it to them. So it's an incredible feeling. So it's really hard to feel sad or drained from that. It's pretty uplifting, actually.
Well, that's true.
Jeffrey. Hi.
Oh, look at that blue orb.
Cool.
It's like he totally knows what we're about to do. And he's so excited. It's like messages from him are bursting at the seams. Oh, Rose, I always cry when I think about animals. My friends joke that my eyes are constipated because I don't cry. But when it comes to animals and my son, Jeffrey, that's how. If I ever need to act in a movie and make myself cry, I'll just think of Jeffrey.
Yep. Yeah, that'll do it for me too.
Yeah. So, Rose, thank you for coming back on Lightworkers Lounge. We always love having you. People still talk about you today. I think they still book sessions with you today.
They do. I had one just last week. I always ask, how'd you hear about me? Oh, I found this podcast called Lightworkers Lounge.
Oh, this is awesome. And a lot of empaths, a lot of sensitive, intuitive people, they have such a bond with their animals, their fur babies. Mm-hmm. And so people like you who are able to connect with animals on a higher level, you know, do you think anybody could talk to their animals, their pets?
I do. Yeah. I think it's an innate ability we have, telepathic communication between people as well. It's just, we aren't raised as a society to honor that, as you know, to honor those feelings, that intuition, that nudge, that voice we hear, you know, so it's a matter of, you know, just learning how to tap into that and trust.
Were you raised to be psychic, spiritual, in tune with animals?
Not directly. I was raised, you know, Christian, Protestant, Presbyterian.
Wow.
But my parents were very open-minded, and my dad was very much an animal communicator, although he wouldn't have called it that. He just loved animals. But that kind of thing, if it came up, wasn't shut down. Mm-hmm. You know, if, like, I knew with my cat Snowball, my first really bonded animal, that I knew what she wanted, and I'd tell my mom, and she never said, well, you can't know that. She would just say, okay. Even if she thought it was weird, she didn't like discount it. So I had that kind of support. Yeah. But I wasn't really raised, not like my kids, with, you know, telling them to tap into their intuition and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Do your kids talk to their animals? Or do they ever ask you, like, Mom, can you ask my dog why it's all of a sudden peeing everywhere?
Yeah, no. My daughter, she just uses me.
Oh.
I mean, she can. But she talks to them. But when there's a problem, she just contacts me. My other two children don't have any animals right now.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I was looking at your birth chart before the call. You're a Capricorn with a Sagittarius moon and Libra rising. And the one placement in your chart that's like, oh, yeah, she can speak to animals. Like, naturally, it's a gift that comes so effortlessly to you, is your Venus is in the sixth house of small pets or any type of pets. And it's, your Venus is in Pisces, the most spiritual shamanic sign in the zodiac. And it's direct opposition. So it's exactly across your chart from your north node. Your north node is your spiritual purpose in this lifetime. It's to talk to animals, small pets, communicate with them.
Yeah, you did my chart. Oh, there we go. That's better. Yeah. You did my chart, but I don't know that much about, I don't know as much about astrology.
I know.
So I didn't always understand. I'm messing with it. If this does go on YouTube, sorry. If anybody sees this mess I'm doing right now.
Her Sagittarius moon is coming out to play.
There.
Your chart says you have a natural gift to communicate with animals. So share with the listeners how you got into this. If you were raised Christian, that's pretty polar opposite of what you're doing now.
Yeah, but they were really open-minded. But it was years and years later, I had a dog we adopted. Hi, Jeffrey. He's like, come on, you guys are taking too long.
Yeah,
he gets right in front of you.
Right in front of me.
Anyway, we had this dog, Benny, who was an old dog that we adopted, a senior. And I was on a trip, and he was with us. And I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm thirsty. I'm like, I'm not thirsty. Where'd that come from? And I looked, and Benny had come up between the two front seats of the minivan. He was just staring at me. I was like, oh, you're thirsty.
Wow.
So it kind of reminded me. I told my son, he was 14. I said, get Benny his water. He's thirsty. He's like, how do you know? I said, he just told me. He's like, okay, mom, you know. But it kind of got me thinking. And then Benny, we only had Benny a couple years. I don't remember if it was shortly after that, but when he died, I kept feeling him around me, and I was afraid that he was sort of stuck there, like people sometimes can get. And then I saw a class advertised for animal communication. So it was just divinely placed in my path, and that's when I took that class. That was about 20 years ago.
And when you first went to that class, were you like, oh, I'm home. This is what I've wanted to do all along.
I was surprised how easy it felt.
Yeah.
You know? But at the time, I was also, you know, I had little kids. I, three of them at home. I was still doing hair. I've been a hairdresser forever, and I had my salon in my house. I was doing my hypnotherapy practice, and I was doing energy healing. So it was, to me, it was just another thing to do. You know, I just kind of used it off and on here and there when it came up with friends or people I'd meet and my own. It wasn't until my youngest graduated and that I was like, now what do I want to be when I grow up? Because I spent a lot of years homeschooling and taking care of my mom. So that kind of took precedence over, you know, me. Mm-hmm. So that's when I decided to really put my attention back into animal communication. And I went back to my mentor, and she had a 4-month certification course. So I took that. And that was just about four or five years ago.
Wow. Oh, so recently. I thought you'd been reading for a while.
I have. I just haven't had my professional presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it just kind of, I'd meet somebody and they'd tell me their dog had cancer. I'd say, oh, I do this thing. And I would just do it. Or with my own. You know, yeah. But I hadn't really done it as a profession.
Ah.
Oops. What happened?
There.
It's because I guess I can't block calls coming in, can I?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
You're just so popular. Everybody wants to book a reading.
Yeah.
There's flies landing on my camera. A fly just blocked. Rose, we're like Noah's Ark. We're attracting all the animals. We've got Jeffrey sitting on the keyboard, a fly on the camera.
Look at Jeffrey's little head, too.
Oh, yeah. I swear he knows we're talking to you, and he's like, I've got to be here.
When I do my radio show, Nicole, she's the founder of News for the Soul, and her little dog, Poppy, always comes in and gets up on her lap.
Oh, look
in the studio.
Oh, my God.
Little, like, Chihuahua. I don't know if she's Chihuahua, but she looks like a little Chihuahua.
I love
it. She's very cute.
You're so gifted at what you do, Rose. And you've provided me with so much closure between losing my two cats. You know, one of them died, the other one ran away the same day. I mean, that's traumatic when you're so bonded to animals. And you provided me with so much healing and answers that I would have never, ever received. So it's an honor for me to share you with the world, because I know that grief of losing a pet or even just behavioral issues. My best friend Paulina came to you because she's have a little one of her own and her dogs are acting funny. So it's just behavioral changes like that and that can give you answers. And you help people with that. So tell people, what kind of readings do you like? What type of people, aside from the ones who lost their pets and want answers, why do people usually call you?
A lot of the time with behavioral issues, you know, they're doing something that they don't like, peeing outside the litter box, not getting along with other animals in the house, barking too much, you know, fear, anxiety, aggression. I mean, any type of behavioral issue can be addressed with animal communication. It's not always completely resolved. You know, there's always, sometimes it's good to work with the behaviors as well, but we can get insight as to where that behavior is coming from and why they're acting that way. And if there's something that they need or they're trying to tell their person. Mm-hmm. But I always say every session is really about the person too, because yeah. there's work for them to do. It's, you know, they are so connected to our energy that if they're acting out, there might be a reason that's connected to the person, you know, their energy. Like with COVID, I had so many people contacting me and their animals were like just acting out.
Wow.
And it's because their people were so stressed out.
Oh, and then all of a sudden the routine of people go to work and then they come home and all of a sudden people are all at home. It's like, wait,
yeah,
this
no.
is different.
Right. And everybody thinks, oh, they probably love it because we're home all the time. But not always.
Jeffrey does. Look at him. He can't get any closer uh-huh. to me all no. the time. So
yeah, that's how bonsai is.
Yeah. So. Can we show people how this all works? So if they want to
yeah, let's do it.
You, they can see. So you're familiar with Jeffrey. You're no stranger to him. My pug, for anyone listening who doesn't know who we're talking about when we say Jeffrey, he's my little four-year-old pug.
Jeffrey.
My little Sagittarius pug. And I do. And this time I do have questions about him. You know, as we were saying before we hit record, I now live out of a motorhome full time, as you can see sitting up front. And we are going to put a big sticker of Jeffrey's face and call it the traveling pug on the side and get his own Instagram and everything. But basically, just to refresh your memory, because I know you give readings all the time and it gets lost, but you had communicated with him. And at the time, I was just going through a divorce. And I said, I really felt a lot of guilt that I got the dog and my ex-husband didn't. So I just inquired, like, how does Jeffrey feel about this? Did he want to stay with my ex-husband? Did he want to come with me? And you said he definitely wanted to come with you because he came here to experience. He wants to travel, see everything, experience it mm-hmm. all. And I can see that in him. Before he was one, he hiked the Rocky Mountains and swam in the Atlantic. He loved it. And so you
he
said
does.
That. Yeah. You said, Jeffrey is showing me that he wants to live out of a van with his face on it and be proud and go everywhere. So that's stuck with me so heavily because I can see him that we finally got it. And you know, I was going to bring that up with you too. It's that when we lived in the Keys, his barking and his anxiety was so bad. I was fine in the Keys. That's my happy place. But his was awful. And ever since we got here, he listens more. Like in the Keys, if I had him off leash, he would dart at bikes, dart at people, at cars. And I was like, why are you acting like this? Here, he'll hop out of the RV. People will go by on their bikes, park rangers. And he just sits and looks. And I'm like freaking out, ready for him to run. But he's so calm, just basking in the sun outside, like, oh. So I really feel
interesting.
Like he's thinking, finally, this is all I wanted. So I would love if you could channel him. And clearly he's ready because he's sitting on the computer like he never does.
He's got his, at least he hasn't disconnected us.
I know. We've done good so far. So give us a rundown of how you begin, what I should do, if anything.
So when I do a session, oops, my headphone just popped out. I prefer that the person is in a place where they are relaxed, comfortable, you know, not driving, not multitasking, not making or eating lunch or dinner or whatever.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
Hold on, let me get my muffins out of the oven.
Yeah, because they think they're just listening. But I really like people to be present. You know, there's a connection already that you share. And so it's important that they're in a good space too. And then I start with the prayer like we did before. Mm-hmm. But I've added to that a little bit now. I start with a little bit of an opening the heart meditation. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people really aren't in that space, and it's also something they can use later.
Mm.
I actually had a session with another animal communicator who hired me, and so I offered her a trade instead, because it's always fun to see how other people yeah. work. And she does something similar, and I really liked it, and I asked her if she minded if, said, I'd like to steal that, you know, only put my own twist on it. And she was, you know, she's like, yeah, that's fine. So should we go ahead and do that with you? And
yes.
So what I'd like you to do is take both your hands and put them right on your heart center, your heart chakra. I'm going to close my eyes because this is how I work. So.
Me too.
Okay. So begin by just bringing your awareness and your breath to your heart chakra, your heart center. And take a couple of deep, slow breaths. And imagine pulling in energy from the earth in through the bottoms of your feet, moving up your body, up over your head, down your spine, and breathe out through your heart center. So every breath, breathing in this calming, grounding earth energy, and releasing out through the heart chakra. Just take a few cleansing, grounding breaths. As earth energy comes in, it settles and grounds and centers your energy. And as you breathe out through your heart center, your heart chakra opens and softens. And then visualize a connection, a cord, a beam of light, whatever fits for you, from your heart center to Jeffrey's. In the exact same place, animals have chakras just like we do. And see this connection between your hearts. Think of how much you love him, how much gratitude you have for him in your life, how much you appreciate him, how much joy he brings to you. And allow that energy, that connection, to move from your heart center to his, through that connection, that cord, that bond. I ask the divine to be here present with us, to open our hearts and minds to clearly receive information from Jeffrey. I ask this in the energy of love and for the best and highest good of us all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So Stephanie, I like for you to say your first and last name three times. Mm-hmm. If you want to say JR, right?
JL.
JL, sorry. His name too, because now the family dynamic is different.
Yeah.
You may, it's up to you. And then Jeffrey's name three times.
Yeah. Stephanie Powers, Stephanie Powers, Stephanie Powers. JL, JL, JL. And last but not least, Jeffrey, Jeffrey, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey thinks he's the boss.
Well, he is. Duh.
Yeah. His energy is above both of you. It's a little sassy. It's not particularly, it's not aggressive. It's a little sassy, but Jeffrey's a little sassy.
He has an Aries moon.
It's also where he feels, you know, he almost needs that because it helps him feel safe and it helps him feel secure.
Yeah. You know, we
is
laugh.
Is that him snoring?
That's him snoring. He's really just tapped into the energy and participating. when we walk Jeffrey on leash sometimes, he'll go up to a fence where there's a not so friendly dog, and this dog will snarl and growl and try and attack him through the chain link fence, and Jeff will stand out there with his chest puffed out, just like stiff, looking him right in the eye, like, what? He's so sassy. For a pug, so
he's
sassy.
He's very sassy. Yeah. And he kind of likes this. You know, when it was you and him, if I recall, and the way it feels, his energy, your energies were very equal. Mm-hmm. He was like your partner in crime.
Yep.
So now that there's a third energy, he likes being above. You know, and he feels like that he actually, part of his job is to help JL feel connected to the two of you. Like it's like he's welcoming a new child into the family.
Yes.
Not that JL's a child, but that's how, yes, you know, that's how Jeffrey looks at it. It's like, yes, come on, come on, you're welcome. You can come in, come in, yeah, you can come in. But I'm up here.
I'm the ruler of the roost. Exactly. Yeah, JL has said that Jeffrey makes him feel very grounded and secure.
And Jeffrey will randomly go up to him when nobody knows something's wrong with JL. Jeffrey will, and he'll go sit on his lap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a pretty strong spirit. We talked about that before too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's very, you two are definitely meant to be connected in this mm-hmm. lifetime.
Yeah.
So he's really happy he gets to do his job.
Yeah, he feels fulfilled protecting me. Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask Jeffrey why it is that he barks so aggressively at gas stations. I mean, it's giving JL and I PTSD because when we pull up to a gas station with Jeffrey in the car, we know, or a grocery store, or anywhere where one of us has to get out and go grab something, do something, Jeffrey freaks out, and it's ear-piercing barks.
So anytime one of you gets out of the car?
Yeah, especially at gas stations.
Huh. Okay. So one thing he shows me is there was a time. Now did you have two different cars?
Yes.
With Jeffrey?
And when I had him with my ex-husband, yes, we had two different cars.
Because I feel like it's not the car you have now or that he was in most recently. I know now you're in an RV, but yeah. A different car, because it was quite a long time ago. But yeah. You got out of the car for whatever reason to go in and buy something or whatever. Someone was knocking on the window and uh-huh. talking to him, and he didn't like it.
Oh, that has happened, actually. I do remember going in the gas station to get something or go to the bathroom, and I came out once. And there were people knocking on the door, talking to him, just saying, oh, I love pugs. And I remember being like, this just feels wrong.
Yeah, to him, it was like totally affrontive. So that kind of triggered him. He was younger, the time that I'm speaking of. I don't know if that's the same time you're thinking of. So it kind of, you know, anchored in there as a not so good experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk to him how... first of all, if he just lies down, they might not even notice him. Second of all, there's still one of you in the car, so that's not going to happen. He really wants to go in too. That's the other thing.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't know why he can't go wherever you go.
Yes, he doesn't, especially grocery stores. He's pissed.
Mm-hmm. You'll have to get him a little, actually grocery stores and stuff. They have to be service animals, not emotional support.
Yeah.
And that has to be the real deal. I always say Bonsai could be an emotional support animal, but he's the one that needs the support.
You need the word best.
Yeah, I'm an emotional support person. So that's part of it for him too. So remember how he used to get so nervous when you'd leave and you sent him that picture of getting his chewy and getting up on the couch when you left?
Yes.
So you want to do the same thing when you're getting out of the car. Have you tried that?
No, I haven't. I'm always just like, okay, 1, 2, 3, hold my breath, get out, pump gas.
Yeah, you're anticipating him barking, and now both of you are, which, if you recall, that just reinforces that behavior.
Yeah.
You know, we often do that inadvertently. So both you and JL, when you're getting ready to go to stop at a grocery store or a gas station, start picturing that in your mind and let him know, this is what we're going to do. I'm just going to run in for a few minutes. JL's going to wait with you, or vice versa. So he knows ahead of time, because what you're doing instead is you're thinking, oh God, he's going to start barking as soon as we pull in the parking lot.
I mean, right? I almost put in cotton in my ears to prepare for it.
So you have to help him learn a new response, because that's what he's been conditioned to now, as well as it continues to get reinforced. You know, animals don't hear the don't. Like if we say don't bark when we go, please don't bark. All they hear is bark when I get there.
Ah, if I'm just saying shit, he's going to bark. And he's like, okay, bark. Mm-hmm. Okay, bark.
Right, because you're creating a picture of him barking. And that's what he sees, that picture. There's no don't in a picture. You know, there's no big circle with an X or a line through it.
Yeah.
So you want a picture going there, and especially the two of you together, if you do that prior, you know, and you do it at the same time, that's even more powerful. So you're sending him a really strong, clear message, and that it's okay, that he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right.
And if people knock on the, if he does, if you have to both get out, show him that if he just lies down, well, especially now in the RV, they can't do that. That's another thing we could share with them. Although, are you towing a car?
Yeah, we're towing my Subaru, yeah.
Okay. So he might sometimes still be in the car, right?
Sometimes, rarely, but yeah.
Okay. All right, let me just send him that picture too. It's really, it's even more so that he's, he knows you're going to get out, and he feels like whenever somebody gets out, he should have the opportunity to go too.
Yeah, I feel that from him. I practice talking to him with what you taught me when I stayed with you. I still work with that, and he shows me a lot of just, I don't want to miss out. I want to experience everything.
Yeah, yeah. So we need to also maybe help him, since he's so secure in his space above both of you, and he does hold this air of importance to himself. You know, it's okay that he has that space as long as it doesn't cause any conflict. So I'm going to show him how, if he's just, if he wants to allow his energy to come down between you two, that he can be more comfortable in situations like that, because it would be like you and him just waiting in the car, or you and JL just waiting in the car, and you're all like on the same level. Does that make sense? What I'm,
yes,
what I'm trying to explain? Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, right now he's just like, yeah, whatever. I'm having a good dream.
And my bubba smiled into me.
Is he?
You know, there's there's another really interesting thing about Jeffrey that I tried to use what you taught me last night to talk to him. But whenever we are cooking or baking, anything with the oven and the stove, he gets terrified. Tail between his legs. At our old place in the Keys, we had a big front porch deck. So whenever we would start cooking dinner, he would just run out there and sit outside and watch us from outside. Well, last night was the first night we really made a big dinner here in the RV, and he was scratching at the door to get out and then jumping into my arms, quivering. And I thought, why is he so afraid of, I mean, we had the stove fan on, but there is something with cooking and him. And JL's always like, did you accidentally burn him on the oven as a puppy? Or what is this? Because it's so not like Jeffrey. He's that sassy hard ass. So for him, this afraid is odd.
It's the sound it makes. Did you used to use a timer on the stove?
No, but when I channeled Jeffrey last night, he showed me one time at my loft in Denver. I lived in a very urban loft, and somebody around 11:11 at night made the entire building smoke alarms go off. And it actually was a pretty serious event. Like, the property managers ran through the hallway screaming, get out, get out. And how piercing the fire alarms were. Jeffrey was terrified. I had to go under my bed and yank him out because he was so scared, and then run down to the parking garage, to our car, take off. And I think that's what he showed me, is cooking is associated with really loud alarms and screaming people.
Because I heard a very piercing sound too, like a dee, 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 dee. So that's when, what, do you know, did you ever use one on the stove? Or what about your mom? Because I also got a flash of that it was, you've been to her house with him before, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And she does have us, not a oven timer, but her smoke alarms. And I'm sure we've burnt something that made them go off.
Oh, that's possible. It's the sound that he's afraid of. He's anticipating that sound.
Every time he hears cooking, like sizzling and fan. And
because, yeah, that's why I still think it might have been a timer on a stove, though, or oven timer.
Oh.
Or maybe one that was set, like, you know, just a timer.
Yeah.
That beeps.
Yeah, because my mom's oven timer is like, beep, beep. Not that loud, but enough to where you'd hear it.
Well, and to them, you know, the sound is so much more
heightened.
Right. Then we hear it. Let me see if there's anything else. All I get from him is he's anticipating a really loud sound. So when that fire happened, do you remember? You weren't cooking probably 11 o'clock at night.
No, but somebody
were they cooking? Is that what made them go off?
Mm-hmm, somebody downstairs on the first floor.
Okay. Because it's connected to the smell as well. That's how he knows that sound could happen. So let's see.
Yeah, because in the morning when we're making a breakfast, usually we don't cook as much. We just make toast. He's not as afraid. But it's dinner time when there's chopping and sizzling and fans.
Mm-hmm. So one thing you could do is he holds a lot of that fear in like his first and second chakra. Mm-hmm. You could do some work there.
Okay.
You do some energy healing, yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So... And, you know, you can see what you feel, you know, check his energy, see if you feel that. But I think it is probably connected to that because it's the sound and the smell, I mean, and then he's anticipating this horrible noise. That was terrifying. You know, and with Jeffrey, with a lot of animals, actually, you know, letting him know ahead of time can be really helpful.
Like, hey, we're going to start cooking. It's going to get loud. We'll be running around.
Well, and that it's safe.
Mm.
Nothing's going to happen. I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
I've got this under control. Listen to him.
Oh, yeah. He's a true pug.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You probably, do you even have smoke alarms in an RV?
No, yeah, we do have one in the bedroom.
Do you?
Yep.
Oh,
I don't know if it's.
I guess there would be, but okay. So what I'm doing is letting him know that the smell of, because it's really more the smell than the sounds. He just knows now that when you're, you know, pulling out pans or cutting up and stuff, that's coming. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that sound's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just, it's almost like, not really PTSD, but you know, it triggers him.
Yeah.
Because he's anticipating that and it puts him in a state of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ever give him people food?
Yes.
Okay. So I didn't want to tell him that, and what he can start doing then is associating that with a little treat.
That was my motto last night. I was like, okay, I cradled him in the bedroom while JL cooked because it was that bad. His poor little anxiety. I had to like barricade our room so it could separate the kitchen and just cuddle him. And then I showed him, look, this is what we make from those sounds. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's cool. And reaffirming that when I channeled him, I did the heart chakra and the cord. And that is what he showed me was that one time in Denver when he was
okay.
Just mortified. And I thought,
And you know, EFT works really well on animals.
I didn't think of that. It could do work for animals too.
Yeah, it's great for releasing that. And you can tap yourself as a surrogate. So,
okay.
To release that.
You know, one other really prominent question that's coming to mind right now is, I want to know if Jeffrey liked living in the Florida Keys, because as you probably know from my Instagram, the Florida Keys is my happy place. It wasn't necessarily JL's. And something tells me it wasn't really Jeffrey's either, whether it was just the heat, because, you know, pugs don't do well in heat. Jeffrey just seemed more sluggish. And like here, we're in Hunting Island, South Carolina. It's much cooler. There's land for him to just jump out of the RV and go and run. And he just waking up earlier. He's eating better. He just seems like he's got his sparkle back. So I'm just curious how he feels about the Florida Keys.
Okay. So that's been like how long since you were there? When did you leave?
Oh, 4 days ago.
Oh, okay. You know, part of what it is for him is he's afraid you're going to not travel when you're there. You're so rooted to that. Like, you feel I'm home.
Yeah.
And you don't care about going anywhere. And he's afraid you're going to stay. And he wants to move. He wants to travel around.
Wow.
He wants to go do stuff. He's not ready to just stay in one place.
Hence the motorhome. So that was my next question for him is, what is he doing with this RV motorhome life? Because the first day he had really bad anxiety, panting the whole 5-hour drive. But now I think he's already settled into the sounds, the routine, where we're at. I'm just worried that every time we'll stay in places 1 to 2 weeks, but then we're going to move again. Just curious how he feels about this new way of life.
Okay. Well, it's still pretty new. So you said the first day, you kind of cut out the first day, he had a hard time.
He did. He had a really hard time. He was just laying down, panting the whole...
Well, the whole house is moving. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, all the smell.
You know?
I tried to really set him up nice, but...
Mm-hmm. It's not like being in a car.
No.
So it feels totally different. The other thing, too, about the keys... is the air feels really thick to him. So that, I guess that would be humidity, but it's probably humid where you are now too. But for some reason, there it seemed even denser.
Yeah,
to him.
Well, the air is totally different here versus the Keys. Here it's more crisp and cold. The Keys was always warm and very humid and lots more pollution in the Keys too. You know, there was nowhere, there was nowhere he could be off leash in the Keys. And he hates being on leash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said he hates being off leash.
Yeah. I mean, he hates being on a leash. So here in South Carolina, he's just, we let him out the RV and he's free to roam. So that could play a role.
Okay. He likes the idea of, the RV, it feels so big to him. I don't know how big an RV you have, but it feels to him. So the whole thing moving was really disconcerting. He didn't know where his, like in the car, he knows where to sit and be comfortable.
Mm.
But in the RV, it feels so much different to him. It kind of feels like a train is what it reminds me of.
Yep.
If you've ever been on a train.
Yep.
Kind of has that feeling to him.
Mm.
This motion feels so much more large.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it, but it was hard for him. Does he have a good place he can sit, or does he like to just sit with you if you're not driving?
He likes to sit with me on my lap or up here on the dash where the computer is.
Uh-huh. I heard Jeffrey. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's really just he needs to kind of learn his new comfort
where
zone
he sits.
In there.
Yeah, because in my Subaru, he knows, jump on the seat and he gets right in the middle on the armrest. His little towel is there. That's his spot. So maybe in this one, it's like, holy shit, this is a full house.
Mm-hmm.
With my spot.
And it doesn't feel, you know, there's like it's so open, even in the front, it's very, very open. So that makes it harder for him.
Yeah, it is. That's
maybe get him one of those little booster seat thingies where he can sit in the middle.
So he knows his spot, his routine. That's
mm-hmm.
true. Every time mm-hmm. he jumps in the Subaru, it's routine. Know where I sit.
Right.
I jump. He needs his spot.
Yes.
Perfect sense. Okay.
But he likes to be able to see. You know, that's important to him too. And
I know.
And to be near you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be back in the back.
Right.
You guys are both up front.
Ah, okay. I'll look around and find him a good spot, my little sidekick. So the final
where you're sitting now is that
this is the front seat, and like as you can see behind us, it is a pretty big motorhome. It goes all mm-hmm. the way back, and that's true.
Nice.
I thought about that too, and you know, again, all thanks to you, I know how to channel Jeffrey and anchor my energy into his. And he sends mm-hmm. me pictures Not necessarily words. It's pictures, and sometimes it's smells too.
Right. I don't usually get words either. It's more of sensation and pictures. Mm. Sometimes the sensation comes so strongly that the words kind of come with it.
Yeah.
But it's still my, you know, the feeling that puts those words there.
That's true. I should try that with him. Now, the final question I have for Jeffrey is, it involves JL. JL has two little boys. They're 3 and 4 from a previous marriage. And while we don't get to see them that often because they're in Texas, we still do sometimes. And I'm just curious how Jeffrey feels about them, because when we do have them for our weekends, Jeffrey does kind of take back seat because I'm playing with them. They're 3 and 4, so it takes up a lot of time. And Jeffrey's really patient with them, so I feel like he really enjoys them, and he loves the snacks that they sneak to him behind our back all the time, for sure.
Of course.
And I think he has a really special bond with the oldest. I find those two together quite frequently, but I'm just curious how he feels about those two little humans.
You know, his role with them is so different. He kind of enjoys that. He kind of likes being like the big brother. For him, it's actually sort of like vacation.
Ooh.
Because he can, it's not that it's work with you, but you know, that's part of your agreement, right? You and he. So with them, he can kind of just let it flow and like play. It's just like play. He does feel like they're really fragile though. So there's a part of him that's always kind of watching out for him. He feels like they're a little, like they need watching out for. I mean, they are young, but he really feels this innocence and fragility to them that he gets concerned with.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's so patient when they'll cover him with their stuffed animals to where you can't even see Jeffrey anymore. And they'll want to roll him over to rub his belly. And he's just so, he just lets him go at it. And that's usually not how he is. He's very hard-ass. Don't touch me. He actually doesn't even let people pet him. So when the boys come around, he just turns into silly putty.
Mm-hmm.
Lets him go at it.
Yeah, because he's off work.
Wow, that's true. And that makes me feel better, because there are times where I'm helping clean up or I'm on the ground playing with the boys. I'm like, oh shit, Jeffrey. I'm so used to having him on my hip. And Jeff's just chilling in the corner watching us interact. So he seems okay. I just, you know, it's a new dynamic. It's new humans. Aside from Jay, it's new humans coming into our circle. So just wanted to confirm with him. How does he feel about that?
Yeah, he also feels like, I'm trying to think of the right words. So this is a little personal, but you put everything out there anyway.
Yes, I do.
So when they come, there is a shift in the energy, the dynamic of you and JL.
Mm-hmm.
And to him, it's like JL gets filled with this tremendous, like he feels so good when his boys are there.
Yep.
They're both boys, right?
Yep.
And to him, it feels like, sometimes it's so hard to describe what I'm feeling. It's their energy, the three of them, kind of, it's almost like it separates a little bit from you. And so he feels like you're still kind of figuring out maybe what your role is, right?
Yes.
And how to interact so that you're not doing something that they don't like or you don't feel genuine or authentic about. And Jeffrey feels all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really patient, because he knows that it's just, this is all part of a process.
Yeah.
And he can feel the connection between you and JL. So he knows that it's not like Yoni's going to have to deal with this once or twice, because this looks like the long haul to him. So he's really patient with all of you, not just them, you know, kind of letting you figure out how this dynamic is going to be when there's the four of you, or five of you, but count Jeffrey.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's exactly and he's, right.
He's really curious about children. He feels like he always has been. Sometimes they're a little terrifying because they're so unpredictable, like energetically, you know, they can be all over the place. But he also, like, he's so drawn to their innocence. Mm-hmm. Like little kids, he probably feels more that than, you know, someone who's like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Because that innocence kind of changes.
Yeah.
You know, as we get older. But he also feels like that's part of his way of helping them feel comfortable. You know, if he was grumpy or standoffish, like he can sometimes be, not really so much grumpy, but standoffish, it would be harder for them. Mm-hmm. It allows them an avenue of expression that helps them enjoy coming and being there with you and him.
Wow.
So he's still helping you.
Yes.
Even though he's kind of on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And, you know, you're spot on, absolutely spot on, that before we get the boys, like the day before, I do get those nervous feelings of like, holy shit, I'm a step parent. These are my bonus boys. And wow, I never saw this for my life. So that there is that weird, like, JL is so excited to have us all together. But then I'm kind of like, what do I do? Oh my God, this is actually my life. They look to me as like a female role model or a stepmom. Oh, I don't even like that word. Mm-hmm. So there is still that feeling of this is so new and weird. And the other night I thought of it and I thought if I didn't have Jeffrey, I would feel so like I was on a deserted island with JL and his boys. Just so, you know, I'm still working on combining and becoming it. But if I didn't have Jeffrey, I was like, wow, this would be so much more difficult.
Because Jeffrey, you know, he's like your child. So
yeah.
He's gave you some, you've learned some of that type of nurturing parenting skills, if you will.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Jeffrey, connection.
Jeffrey loves JL, doesn't he? They have such a unique bond.
And he does, but he also, you know, he loves him because of what he does for you.
Yeah, he does not like when JL leaves because JL has to travel a lot for work and to go see his boys every other weekend. So, and boy, Jeffrey gets so mad. One time he almost bit him when we were waving goodbye. Yeah, JL came up to the car window to wave goodbye and Jeffrey snapped at him. And we were like, we tried explaining, like, he has to go see the little humans. But he gets mad.
And, you know, he feels like JL's kind of your tether. You know how you can, like, be all over the place?
Yeah.
And JL helps kind of keep you grounded and tethered. And so that's part of the reason, too. He doesn't want him to leave because he wants you to be able to stay grounded like that. And also, to be honest, for him, some of it's a little bit of that jealousy, like, why can't I go?
Because I guarantee if we let him out, he would go right in the airport, like, let's roll, let's go.
Yeah, he'd probably walk right up to the gate and look at the lady like, hell no, I don't have a boarding pass, let me on.
Yes, I do. I want to fly with Jeffrey, but I worry he'll be very nervous about it if he's nervous in the motorhome. But I do want to fly with him eventually when the world opens back up.
Yeah, because he's little enough, you could take him on the cabin, right?
I mean, his belly's getting a little bit bigger. But yeah, he's about 25 pounds.
Yeah. Oh, you could put him, I think they have to fit in a carrier under the seat, right?
Yeah, I think that's the rule. Besides for if they're ESA or service animals.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Rose, thank you so, so much for talking to Jeffrey. He loves you. He tells me he does. He remembers you. He remembers my day. He's very comfortable around you. He misses your house. He showed, remember when he went in the mud in the pond?
Oh my gosh. House?
He loves that.
Now he could see it the way it really is. I mean, there's water there. Remember, because it was drained because of the work they were doing?
Yeah.
So that mud was awful. He looked like he had four black legs.
He did. He tells me that it felt great.
Did it? Oh, and it was so stinky.
Yes.
But now the water's all the way up, and
yeah,
you should come back again.
Yeah, you're out in the Asheville, North Carolina area. Very special.
Right. Yeah, it's beautiful here. I love it.
But you only give readings over the phone, right?
I do in-person readings, at events and things when those are happening. Yeah. And for people who are local, I do home visits if they request it.
Yeah.
Some people just want that. They just want me to see their animals. They want me to be honest, sometimes it's almost a little more difficult because I get so distracted by their physical presence.
Is it easier?
I close my eyes. You know, no, I close my eyes. I have to, because I have to go in, you know, and if I'm looking at them jumping around and licking my face or sitting on my lap and, you know, it's just, yeah, when I'm trying to like get that really clear connection. Once it's there, then it's okay. But
yeah. Is there a certain breed of dog or even cat that's easier to talk to and that's more spiritual or open to it? Or does it just depend on the demeanor?
It depends on their personality, just like people. And older souls, you know, animals reincarnate. And the ones that are older souls are often, well, I don't even know if that's true when I think about it. I was going to say they're often more familiar with the kind of communication. But, you know, even really young souls can be like, hey, you can hear me? You know, and they get all excited. But it's just really more about personality. You know, I haven't ever had an animal that wouldn't communicate with me, because somebody told me, one of my clients one time, that she had worked with another communicator and she said, he didn't want to talk to me. And I think that maybe because whenever, before a session, I always connect with that animal. I just send out, you know, energy that I'm going to be there and that the session's all for them. It's not for the person.
Yeah.
So, and I ask permission, you know, is it okay? If, you know, maybe I ask you some questions. And so, you know, I think just like us, we don't want somebody just getting up in our face and start asking questions, especially if they don't know us.
Like, who are you? Where'd you come from? What do you want?
Right. Right.
Is Jeffrey a new or an old soul?
You already know this.
I think he's in the middle, more towards the new side, but
he's not like an old wise soul, but it's not his first time around the block. I mean, it's enough because he's so well anchored into his little body.
You know?
He really is. And also because of the travel, he intentionally wanted that in this lifetime.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we're starting a brand called the Traveling Pug because he tells me he wants his face to live on and to encourage other people to explore. Travel.
And he would love more than nothing. And this already happens, I think, where people recognize him. Like if you're out.
Yes, they do. They never recognize me. First, it's Jeffrey. And then they put two and two together like, wait, oh, you're the girl. Oh, but it's always Jeffrey first. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because he's an apricot pug and that's a different shade of color people notice. But he loves it.
Well, he also sends out that energy like, look at me.
Oh, he does.
Don't you almost see him like with hats on? He should have hats.
Everybody says that. And they always ask if his name is Joffrey with a G. Not just J-E-F-F. That's him. He thinks it should be. Oh, totally. He pans around. That's him, all right. Can't imagine life without him.
I know.
So, Rose, where can people find you if they'd like to book a lovely reading like this?
My website is roseproud.com. My email is petmessenger@gmail.com. And then all my info is on there.
Yeah.
So I'm also on Instagram, Animal Communicator Rose.
Yeah.
Facebook, Animal Communicator Rose. So that's easy to remember.
Yeah, super easy. And we'll put all of your info in the show notes. So if you guys would like to book a session with her, please. Do you still do the radio show and the free question every Thursday? Or last Thursday of the month?
Yeah, the fourth Thursday of the month. 5 p.m. Eastern time. You can call in And if you have questions about your animals, and that's all we do on the show. It's 55 minutes. Sometimes one person gets the whole hour. Newsforthesoul.com is the radio show site. And then mine is called Proud Animal Communications.
Yes. And you are so awesome at that. I've had many friends tune into that and ask a question.
Yeah. And it's really great. Cause if you're, you know, if you just want to know more about it or you just have one question, or funds are limited and you can't really afford to do a session. It's a way that you can get a communication complimentary.
Yeah. It's so kind of you to offer that. So Libra rising.
It's a lot of fun. I love doing that show. It's a lot of fun.
Well, thank you, Rose, for coming on Lightworkers Lounge. We'll see you again. Will you come back?
Oh, I will. Anytime. And listen, you come up this way, let me know.
Yes. Isn't Rose incredible? I feel very lucky to call her a friend, and I really look forward to keeping her in my life as I welcome new fur babies and live out a really long, happy, abundant life with Jeffrey. Friendly reminder, you guys can find her at roseproud.com, on Instagram at Animal Communicator Rose. And I look forward to hearing your stories of working with her and what your fur babies have to say. Feel free to send me DMs of all your fur babies' pictures and tag me in them when you listen to this episode. I want to see them. I love all the cats and dogs and birds and all the lovely fur babies that bring joy into your life. Especially right now. We all need it, yeah? Friendly reminder that the intro song is The Light by Soul Rising. And we're going to end this episode with, I think, Jeffrey's favorite song. It's called Sleep on the Floor by the Lumineers. And it's about, this is the most Sagittarius anthem I've ever heard. It's about packing your bags, taking out all your savings, and going on an adventure. Which I believe is what Jeffrey's little soul came here to do. You can find this song, our intro song, and all songs featured on the show on our Spotify playlist of the month. I will see all Friday bonus chat members this Friday for an energetic update. And I'll see everybody else next Wednesday on the main stage. Sending you love from Charleston and beyond. Baby J, say goodbye.
Pack yourself a toothbrush, dear. Pack yourself a favorite blouse. Take a withdrawal slip. Take all of your savings out. Cause if we don't leave this town, we might never make it out. I was not born and drowned. Baby, come on. Forget what Father Brennan said. We were not born in sin. Leave a note on your bed. Let your mother know you're safe. And by the time she wakes, we'll have driven through the state. We'll have driven through the night. Baby, come on. If the sun don't shine on me, and if the sun